Okay. Opening statement. I was thinking about things, you know, when you, you know, when you study and you read on this particular subject, you know, or any subject, you always, after you've been in it for a couple, two, three rounds, you kind of try to make a analysis, you know, come up with some kind of an idea, you know, to kind of put it into a kind of a smaller nutshell of the whole subject of the fool. I wrote this down here. The fool displays the depraved and the antichrist spirit. Okay? That's what the fool does. A fool displays the depraved and the antichrist spirit. Completely opposite to God, Christ, or anything spiritual. It bucks against it. It won't submit to it. It just won't do that. And that's that old depraved nature that just continually gives this world a major problem. That's why we're having the problems we're having in this world. Okay, not just in America, but all over the world. He said, on the flip side of it, you got the new nature displays, the new nature displays the spirit of Christ and his nature. And that's what we're trying to do, is trying to go to be conforming to the image of Christ. That's what it's all about. And that's an everyday job. Sometimes we succeed, the next day we fall flat on our face. But you know, God bless us for the day we do good. Even though you know the next day you're going to fall flat on your face. That's not how God works. He blesses you for what you do. Okay? When I first heard that, Jim taught that many, many years ago. And that made no sense to me at all. A sincere heart God will admire and respect, even though that heart may go south. Look at Solomon. Did God grant him his wish? His prayer? Yes. Was he sincere? Yes. That was at the zenith moment for him. And God knowing what he was going to do with what he gave him, but he gave it to him nonetheless. That's how God works. God does not work in the fashion that he said, well, I was going to bless you today because tomorrow you're going to mess it up. That's not God. He will do to you in that moment in time or in that particular day whatever you're asking for. You're looking for trouble? God will give it to you that day. Okay? You're looking to do good, God will bless you for doing that too. So learning the mindset of God and how he deals sometimes doesn't make a bit of sense to us. You know, why do people do what they do, say what they say, and on and on and on? Why does the fool act the way he does? Conduct himself in manner that is so ridiculous that even to the fool sometimes don't make no sense. It doesn't. That reminds me of when Jim was dealing with this Jehovah's Witness girl years back, you know, when he was pastor at New Hope. And he's told that story here a few times. And Jim gave her everything possible to convince her. Even he gave her the definition of John 1 and 1, John 1 and 14. And after that, she apparently was kind of a bright girl in as far as grammar. And he went through this with her. And she was answering the grammar words, you know, the linking verbs and all this and that. Once he was done, he says, well, what do you think? I said, it makes all the sense in the world. But I've been a Jehovah's Witness all my life. I will never leave it. Man, that's the ultimate fool. After being advised and taught in that particular level of understanding, wasn't granted because the heart was shut to it. Can God open the heart? Sure he can. But he seen that she was going to shut her own heart. And God, that's not the first time Jim talked to her several times. Remember when the Lord dealt with Pharaoh? And Pharaoh kept hardening his heart? He kept hardening his heart, himself personally. After a while, God said, okay, From now on, I will harden your heart. God can harden the heart of people because they already hardened their heart against God and they're hell-bent and they're not going to turn. And only God knows that. We don't know that. We can deal with people for years and you can almost say sometime and they're never going to turn around. Been dealing for 10 years. All of a sudden you hear through the grapevine, hey, did you hear so-and-so, man, I'm saved. You're kidding me. It took 20 years, but it happened. Okay, the providence of God, you know, a lot of things have to unfold. Yet God will keep that person alive because he knows that person is going to make a confession of faith one day. He already knows that. And because he knows that, he's able to keep you alive for you can meet that day when you come face to face with God. And I know that because I'm a live example of that, for sure. And I'm not myself only, but many. Look at Paul. Look at Paul doing what he was doing. God could have had him taken out any time he wanted. But he had other plans for him. But he let him do what he's going to do. Ravage and... Yeah, he was doing a lot of things and it wasn't good. And here's the last point on this one here. So either settle for depravity or amazing grace. You have your choice. Settle for a life of depravity by choice or settle for amazing grace. In many cases, fools don't want that amazing grace. It's too boring for them. It's not exciting enough, you know. Okay. I got another one to read here, but I want to wait until I get to that verse of Scripture. Okay, we're going to talk about meekness. Okay, last week we're going to go into number one, the practice that identifies the fool. The practices. That's what we're looking at. Okay, number one, a babbling fool. A babbling fool. This is one of the characteristics of a fool. They babble. They run the mouth off. They don't have to. They don't have to know nothing, or they can even be intelligent and just ramble and babble along, making no sense. And like I said before, they don't even know themselves. But let's look at a few scriptures here. Let's start with Proverbs 18 and 6. Proverbs 18 and 6. Got a lot of scriptures here I want to read here. Proverbs 18. Let's say 18, verse 6. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth causes blows. But that's one thing. But look what verse 7 says. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snares of his soul. Your rambling and your rebel-rousing and your babbling off can get you killed. It can bring some real definite harm to you. If people, I'm not going to sit and listen to you rambling on and just saying a bunch of foolish things, you can get yourself hurt. I know that to be a fact. Anytime I got any confrontation with anybody, we start talking. Voices start raising. And the guy starts loud talking. It starts running off the mouth and like he's beating you up just by words. And it'll get you to a point where it's too late. Let's get the show on the road, buddy. And I've seen guys get beat really bad because they're running off at the mouth. Severely beaten by the inch of their lives. When I seen those things, I had to walk away. I couldn't stand watching it anymore. There were some brutal guys out there, all because they're running off at the mouth. And the fool was like that. He didn't know when to shut up. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 10 and 8. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. The wise of heart, okay, will receive commands. But a babbling fool will be ruined. There again. There again, a wise heart will receive commands, He listens to authority. Okay, he has a spirit of submissiveness. But not the fool. The fool just babbles on, and it will cause him his ruin. Let's look at 19. Let me see. Verse 19 of, I guess, the same chapter. What does that say, I think? When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Restraint.
What verse?
19 of chapter 10, Proverbs. Okay, so you see the difference between the two people here? When there are many words, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. It doesn't mean it's going to be a fight. It can be other things. Other things get you in trouble. A babbling fool can sometimes ruin a good friendship with each other. Okay, so there's a lot of ways a babbling fool can become self-destructive. People don't want to be around them. Some of their best friends don't want to hear him anymore. His own family, his own mother, you know, they're tired of hearing him rounding up at the mouth, you know. So babbling can be a lot of things that can bring you to ruin. But he who restrains his lips is wise. We're going to look a little more on that particular thought. Okay, look at 18 and 2. 18, verse 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Okay? He's long-winded and very opinionated. People that are very opinionated, sometimes to me, they don't know what they're talking about. They just have an opinion. Not based on facts or anything real or tangible that makes no sense. They just like to voice their opinions. I want to be heard. I want to be heard. Just like that Maxine Waters. She's a babbling idiot.
I mean, hardly
show her to pop
news anymore.
They haven't shown it lately, but every time they show it, I just fast forward. I'm glad I got TiVo, man. Just bypass all that. Yeah. But she is what you would call a classic babbler. Mm-hmm. Because everything she's saying is pure slander. Not factual. It's violent. It creates a havoc in the community with people and business. And it has far-reaching ramifications. That businesses start to get burned down. People's cars are being bottled or thrown rocks at. That's what a babbling idiot can do. But eventually they will come to ruins. Sometimes I wonder how that woman can sleep at night. And her and many others. They talk pure rhetoric. I listen to all these people in the fake news media. They're just a carbon copy. Almost word for word. One picks it up, the other ones all follow suit. And Sean Hannity's always showing those clips. Mm-hmm. They're nothing different. Nothing. My goodness. But we got a lot of babbling idiots in this society today. Okay, look at 17 and 28. Now here we got a little different situation here. 17:28. Well, it's just right there. I'm on the same page already in my book.
Yeah, just go back a little bit.
Yeah, I know. He said, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. Even a fool knows when to keep his mouth shut. How's that possible? Okay. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. I get shocked by some people because, you know, when I hear something going on between people and I know the people that are there and you hear them talking about a particular subject and I know this one person there, I said, boy, that person's going to explode on this and nothing comes out of their mouth. They just don't say anything. I said, "Hey, buddy, what happened?" I said, "Rhythm's right down your alley. Well, I thought you were going to get up and say all kind of stuff." I don't know. I just felt I better not say anything here. You know, either he evaluated it or something. I don't know what it was, but he won't say nothing. He won't say a word. So the Bible said, even a fool knows when to keep his mouth shut, and it makes him prudent. So there's, I guess, some fools that do have a little bit of common sense. Not often, okay. 72, so I put here, he's a silent fool, okay. Proverbs. Let me go back to this. A fool likes to argue a lot. It's easy for him. Well, that's been their life. I met these kind of guys when I was out in the street. You know, they'll come into a little group of guys that were sitting there, and this one particular guy would always come in. And he was the biggest fool of all. He was a real brutal guy with words. And the F word was every other word, all the time. He had no respect for nobody. He was just one rough hombre. He says, a fool likes to argue a lot. If there was any righteous common sense in that particular group of that guy there, he would have something to say about it. He would have something to say. Well, that's a bunch of F and this and F and that, and he goes on and on. You could not talk sense to that man if your life depended on it. Even if you pay him $1 million, if you would just listen to one bit of common sense, he would not buy it. Well, that guy, I found out, sometime thereafter, he got killed. He had his own towing truck. Okay, he had his own towing truck. And he got killed. I mean, he died. I forget what, he had a heart attack or something or other. Well, he's in a place where he's not going to be able to talk that talk no more. Can you believe that there's order in hell, sis? There's order even in hell. Because when you're in hell, you have more reasoning of why you're there and what got you there. There's no more doubts at all. They all know that. Well, look at the rich man. Look at the rich man, the way he was speaking. He wasn't asking to get out. He knew he wasn't going to come out, apparently. Realization came to him. That's a sad story when you really read it. A sad story. But reality becomes total reality in this place. And when they stand before God, okay, at the white throne judgment, I've said this before, there's going to be somebody else standing there with you. And that is your conscience. The conscience will never leave you. The conscience always reminds you. Even when you don't want to be reminded of things that you've done 10, 20, 30 years ago, it just seems to pop up. It's there. The only one that can actually erase it from the memory is God Himself. He says, I will remember your sins from the east to the west. It will never happen. He's the only one that's got the capability of not remembering. When he said he forgets, he forgets. Isn't that wonderful? So people have a charge against me about anything? Well, the prime example is my own son, my older son. Go off the wall about my lifestyle. And I told him one day, finally, I said, listen, buddy, that's the last time you're going to say another word about that. Anything in my life, my partying and drinking or whatever, because I have been forgiven of all that. It's over and it's done. There's no double jeopardy here, man. I said, that's it, it's over. Don't you ever bring that up again, because I have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't have the right to retry me anymore, you know. But society will. Society will. And even that, they don't know how to do that right. Even that, they don't have a right to do that. But they're going to do it. So what do you do? If a fool likes to argue a lot, it is easy for him. He does not try to stop an argument. He is trying to start one. That's what they thrive on. They love that. If you have a peaceful, demonstration, you're going to get a rebel in there somewhere. You're going to get somebody going to stir things up. I watch it in the movies, you know, even in the old westerns you see it, trying to stir up problems. And it's all slander, it's all lying. Okay, to stir something up. And they're good at it. Okay, 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. 2 Timothy 2. This you, Mr. Timoteo. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. He said, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing that they produce arguments. See? Based on speculation, that can create, produce arguments. Based on speculation. Do you believe anything in regards to when it's just being a speculation? Is that factual? No. It's speculation, exactly what it says there. And there was something I wanted, just read the rest. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Man, that's pretty bad. I mean, when you got a pastor that loves to quarrel and likes to war and fight. Jim never did that. Not to my knowledge. He tried to instruct. He will combat arguments with Scripture. That's what he would do. Now you take that up with the Lord, not me. But he didn't ever get into a shouting match with none of these people. He always kept his composure. And we're going to look at that. That takes a lot of strength, a lot of character, to sit there and have people just blast you. It looked like it's bouncing off, but inside, ripping it apart. That poor man has gone so much. The Lord's bondservant must not, man, I almost got emotional for a minute. Just thinking about the things that have been done to him. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Patient when wronged. It's a wonderful thing when you can practice that. Patient when you are wronged. What do you call it? There's another word for that. Long what?
Long suffering.
Long suffering. Some people, they don't do well with long suffering. I said, no. You hear that? I said, no, heck no. You know, they use the other word, of course, you know. He said, that ain't going to happen, man. Come here, buddy. Verse 25, with gentleness. Now this doesn't come near a fool, a babbling idiot. None of these characteristics portray a fool. They're completely the opposite. Gentleness? Okay, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth, if God grants it. That's very important. That's very important. And they may come to their what?
Senses.
Their senses. And escape from the snare of the devil. Well, he's the one behind all this, right? Satan's behind all fools. Urging them on. I said, no, go ahead and do that, man. He used the serpent back in the day, huh? He used the serpent. So he was his go-to man. I never heard it that way, but at the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will or his bidding. Satan is always wreaking havoc, and he's always got disciples to do his bidding for him. The fool is one of his classic, some of his best soldiers, is the fool, the naive, the ignorant. He preys on these kind of characteristics. And you're vulnerable to that. I watch Father Know Best. I like that. I've been watching him. Because they have a lot of good morals and ethics and principles involved. You know, and oh, but he's a classic fool sometimes. But he's under good home supervision. But even that, he still tends to, like Jim said, go off the red road. You know, and he's, sometimes he's like, innocently ignorant. To him, everything's easy. When you're young, everything's easy. You're invincible. You're full of vinegar, you know. And he buys his old vehicle for $10. And he's looking at that thing like it was a Cadillac special. Like I told Vince, we were watching this morning, it's like, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder, man. The mother comes down and looks at this hideous looking thing. But he was proud of his car. But it was good, because I like the end of the story, because he was so frustrated, worked so hard trying to get that car started. And he would just drop from trying to crank it. But the whole family pitched in. Even Mom got underneath that old junk car, full of oil all over her face. The two sisters got in there just to help him. And they got it started. And I told Vince, that's family. Even though Mom says, there was a foolish decision you made. But here, let me come in and help you see if we can get it started. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful family. Okay, you can advise the kid this and that and everything. And they're going to go their way, okay? So when they fall flat on your face, what do? You go in there trying to help them up. Yeah. You be there for them. Even though they made a mistake, you stay close to them. Don't abandon them. No. Don't abandon. Okay, now Proverbs 4:20, chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. 23 and 24. See, watch over your heart. Your heart represents your what part of your body?
Your soul.
Your soul. Where you reason, where you think, where you feel, where you make decisions, and on and on and on. He said, watch over your heart or your soul with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Okay? Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put decisive speech far from you. See? Put away decisive speech far away from you. Man, there's only one man I know that walked the walk, that talked the talk, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled every single proverb, every single character, every single trait, behavior. He never played the part of the fool, never. So all the things that when we read about, you know, watch over your heart, he did. Because he was human. So he walked every bit of the proverbs and the advice of a righteous man. And he never played in to the characteristics of a fool. Or the naive. None of that. So anytime you read the proverbs, the psalms and all that, it talks about the righteous man and this and this and that. I always think that Jesus had to fulfill all of that when he walked on this earth. He lived the Word of God in his personal life. And we are supposed to be, we talked a little bit about Wednesday, we are supposed to be a walking, living Bible example. I like that. I gotta write that down. We are to live and walk a Bible life. It's not easy, brothers. Not all the time. But it's when we get into the difficult times, it really puts us into a challenge to see how much we're really learning. To test, to see if we're in the faith. And that we can endure hostility, trials and tribulation, be it physical or monetarily, or property, whatever. We can always still smile for the future, because this is, we're just sojourners passing through. Our citizenship is not here on earth, it's in heaven. We're just bypassing. The Old Testament brothers there, Moses, they were called what? What kind of people were they? City dwellers? Mm-hmm. Nomad. They were nomad. They pitched tents. And any moment they can pick up and go. Okay? They can pick up and go. But in a city life, they get stuck there. They get stuck there. They don't go anywhere. Yeah, I've been wanting to get out, so I finally went to drive around town for a little while because I was getting cabin fever. I've been locked up in this house for days, okay, because I was not able to go anywhere. Lying on my feet, you know, because I prayed the night before. I said, Lord, I got a couple of issues, but I ask you for one thing right now. Please, give me back my feet where I can walk better. I was able to hobble. There were times I had to use crutches, you know, and just give me back my feet where I can at least go to the store or do something, you know. Not that I want to go anywhere particularly, but so finally I had to go pick up my my eye drops, you know, from the pharmacy. I said, all right, an outing. Party now! Because when I had my surgery, believe it or not, my knee surgery, I was laid up for over a year. Yeah, I had to get out of the house and I had to get off the property. I'd go and park at Save Mart, take my Bible and my whatever I'm studying on, and just there just to see people. Just to see people. My dad used to do that. Because I've seen him a few times park. When I said, well, I said, you park over there in so and so place. He said, yeah, that's my Bible study room, my truck. And he was in there studying and reading, you know. So with me, it was just...
Because Ellen probably wanted him to get do this and do that.
Yeah, that's probably another good reason. He didn't bring that one up. Yeah. Okay, Proverbs 13:10. Proverbs 13:10. It's amazing how much you can find on the pool. 13:10.
Probably because there's more of them.
For sure. But the Bible talks more about what? Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Hell.
Right.
Okay. Talk more about hell than it does heaven. Gives us enough to keep us enticed, you know? But he talked more about hell. You can give us the reason behind that? He wants to get his point across. You do not want to go there. What did I say? Proverbs 13:10. Through what? What's that word? What word do you have in there?
I have presumption.
Presumption? Mine says insolence?
Mine says right? Pride.
Pride? It
starts with pride.
Okay, meaning rude or arrogant? No respect? That's what I have written down there. Through pride, that's a good one. Through pride come nothing but strife. We know that, brethren. Who is the ultimate king of pride?
Satan
himself. Ezekiel and Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, talk about that then. And it's a good example of this, you know, this pride or insolence comes nothing but strife. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Those who receive counsel. You can stay there. I'm just going to go to Psalms. I've read this so many times, and I like it. You sound like a pretty good old boy. If a guy practiced this, I mean, he's going to do okay. He says, how blessed or how happy is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. When he said the law of God, that means everything. behavior, conduct, morals, ethics, these are all laws that God has instituted. Because all these laws and practices come straight from Him. Because He is the epitome of all that. Okay? So these laws helps us to govern our lives. Okay? To govern our lives in a certain manner. And that's what makes us a shining city on a hill. A shining city on a hill. Okay? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Some people don't meditate on the Word of God. People may read it. That's good. You know, at least you can read it. But it's better if you meditate upon it. Sometimes I'll look at certain verses that just stops me right on my track. It's like it just caught my eye. I said, whoa, what's that mean? So I'll go on a rabbit hunt. Okay, start looking, what does that mean? And that's when I see things, I say, wow. So I find out what this meditating day and night. And I'm sure Jim has had that experience many more times probably than me. So when you're sleeping and you're, and all of a sudden, because I have actually gotten up from bed thinking about the study. It'd be a Wednesday or Sunday. And I think of a verse when I'm there laying down half asleep. I'll get up and go down and write it down because I will forget it by morning. So yeah, meditate day and night. Remember Jim, he mentioned before that he's preaching a sermon while he's driving up the hill, you know. Or he's sleeping half the night and thinking about the sermon and the lessons, you know. He said, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season. Okay, this tree was not a tree that just sprouted out by the riverside. Even though that's true in many cases, right? Seed, flow, you know, trees know how to work their way through the waters, you know, find water. This tree here was firmly planted. We have been firmly planted, brethren. We have been firmly planted in a local New Testament church where God wants us. The waters, we know a lot of times refer to the Word of God. Are we being watered here? Yeah. Do you grow? Do your roots expand further and further? Because you've been firmly planted, especially by God. A holy nation, a priesthood, He selected. So this planting was not just some seed that just blown in the wind and just landed right there where the rivers were at. No, it was firmly planted. Somebody took some tender, loving care and put that, well, Jim, he's got those trees along that little river, right? And they're doing good. They'll never go thirsty. And they're thriving, you know. Well, that's us, metaphorically speaking. He said, which yield its fruit in its seasons, and its leaves does not wither. Uh-oh. As long as the tree is watered, it's not going to shrivel up, right? It's when it's lack of water that it's going to shrivel. When you lack in the Word of God, or exposing yourself to the Word of God, you are going to wither. Your leaves are going to wither. And that's, figuratively speaking, that applies to your life. Your life starts to crumble. You become very complacent, very passive, very nonchalant. It's hard to go down that road if you're being taught. You're being firmly planted and firmly fed by the Word of God. But there are people that will sit under that kind of teaching and still go south. Why? Well, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is not. It's a battle, brother, to keep that flesh intact. To keep watch over it. Paul says, what about his body? He says, I buffet, I beat my body daily and make it my slave so that I will not be found disqualified. Whew. And Paul, there's a word, manifest. That word means manifest, to be put on the stage, the world stage, to be seen by all people. That's what the word manifest means. We are on the world stage, brother, and we are being scrutinized from people wherever we go. Our behavior, our conduct, our mannerism, and whatever we do. So we're on the stage, the world stage, of being examined by people. People watch you. They can hear your talk. They can see your walk. They can see your behavior, your conduct. I'm sure Bobby has a personal opinion about you. If anybody asked her character reference, I think she would say a lot of nice things because of who you are. Okay? The same goes for everybody else here. People have things to say that are nice and respectful only because you live that life. And you don't try to live a different life. You don't try to be a double-minded person, unstable in all your ways. Talk a good talk, but not the walk. Not good. And his leaves are not withered. He can handle anything that comes his way. Firmly planted, firmly nourished in the Word of God, he can withstand all the problems that James chapter 1 talks about and 1 Peter talks about. Trials and tribulations and difficulties of life, you can handle them because you're firmly planted in his Word. But the Word has to be the main source of our nourishment in order to live a wonderful life under very difficult situations. We can do it, and I believe that. And I'll just read the first part of 4. The wicked are not so. Everything we read before, verses 1 through 3, 4 says that with the wicked, not so. There's nothing but trouble, problems, anxiety, depression, drugs, you name it. Because they don't want to listen to counsel. They'd rather be out to argue with somebody that's trying to help them out to have a better life. Okay? They start fights, okay? We read in 2 Timothy 2 and 23. He approves of those who are like him. He approves of those who are like him. The fool likes another fool. Look at Romans 1 and 20, 32. Romans 1. I read that one a few times. Okay, here we go. We start in verse 28, and then we'll land right into verse 32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, okay? You want to read about definition of a fool? Read verses 18 all the way down to this verse. Okay, just as it is, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. God does that, brother. He gives you over to yourself. And that's a very dangerous time. And I remember my sister Carrie, she was out of church for about 10 years. And I go pop in every once in a while. One particular day I was talking to her. I said, look, sis, you know God has the cutoff point. If you keep going this direction. And I asked her, how long have you been out? Well, almost 10 years now. Okay, she had a rough life. But it still was not the right decision to go, just to do. But she wasn't out there living a rebel life and laying with every time. And no, she didn't do any of that. She just went about her business. She was very respectful. She drove her buses. She worked for the school bus district for 30-some years. She was well respected by many people. She was awarded best driver for many years. Okay, but she left God. Did God watch over her during her process of being outside? I believe he was. But that told us, you know what? You come close to some serious accidents. But only God knew if you were going to come back or not. We talk about it now, you know. But he knew that he was watching over you, even though you went astray. You went astray, just like the old prodigal son deal, you know. Mm-hmm. And being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. When you think a fool is going to be a lover of God? Because everything goes contrary to his ideas of what he thinks is fun in life. The fool has his own ideology of life. To them, well, we're going to read a little more about it. They make sport. They joke about it. Okay? Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that's the problem. He that knows to do the right thing and he does not do it, it is sin unto him. That is even more serious than the sin of ignorance. You know, the Bible talks about sin of ignorance, no? When you go back in the Old Testament, they have a sacrifice for the sin of ignorance. Okay? They have that. So can people sin ignorantly? Yes. Yes. But in this case, he said, although they knew God, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things, what we just read, are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them or go along with us. Proverbs, again, we've talked about it, you know, when the father is instructing the son, do not follow these ungodly people. Let me see if I can find that one verse that says that. It's in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 1. Let me see here. Let's see. It says in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent. I know that all too well. I consent into a lot of foolishness. That's why I look like I've been run through the mill. That's a hard life to live, brothers. The night life, they call it. Remember the gay 90s? I'm sure it smiles. I'll take that as a yes. If they say, come with us and let us lie in wait for blood, and let us ambush the innocent without cause. That's going on today, brother. All these killings, a cop that got shot by a criminal took the life of an innocent man.
And the young man that was killed by him.
And the other man got killed in a head-on collision. An innocent man, and apparently he had a pretty good career ahead of him. Just minding his business and took him out. Lie in ambush the innocent without cause. And Sean was putting up some statistics about rape cases, how many have happened so far? Murder cases, they're in the thousands, brother. They're in the thousands.
The Democrats said, oh, so many few people.
Yeah, they're saying these are all creative incidents to a political agenda. Is that ungodly? Mm-hmm. Pelosi and Schumer said it both, sitting there like two bozos. Stuff like that gets me angry. An incident? A fabricated incident? And like Sean telling you, you're going to tell all these people that have lost their children, you know, young and old, to these people, so they've done it just to create these things? that they're not real? You had a panel of, I think it was 13 people that have lost sons. They were all boys, huh? I didn't see any girls in there. Okay. But then they run that list, you know, of all the people that have actually been killed by illegal aliens. These are the kind of people coming to America and ambush our people, innocent and have no cause. This guy, I'm sure he didn't want to be deported. So does that give him the right to take this man out? No conscience. The MS-13 just recently did a job on another American. The one that really got to me about the boy, the young boy, that they beat him, blunted his head, set him on fire. Set him on fire. Now, what that mother's got to live through. She said, it's always hard in the mornings. The mornings are my hardest part of the day. It eventually gets a little better, but it'll never go away. Just imagine what they did to him when she got the report and they burned him. Okay, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth, all because of money. We will find we will fill our houses with spoil. Well, the Bible talks, and we'll probably see this somewhere in the Proverbs, about, a profit, gaining profit in an evil, in a deceptive way. Okay, does not go unpunished. Will not go unpunished. You have to make an honest living. Make an honest living and work for it. Remember that movie we just watched? That boy, and it was, what's his name? We told you about that movie. That boy that grew up in the Bronx, and his father was a bus driver.
Bronx Tale.
Huh?
A Bronx Tale.
The Bronx Tale? Okay, so you had this gangster. He started chumming up with his little kid. And the father, he was a bus driver. So that big old gangster guy tried to give the father a proposition that he could make a lot of money. He don't drive a bus. Okay, hey, make a lot of money, just do what I tell you to do. But he never gave in. The son, he started going to these little gambling places there, and he finally met up with a big guy, you know. And the big guy guys took a liking to him. There's a twist there. He never did anything to harm him. He had him protected. He told him to stay in school. He saved him from hanging around with bad guys, bad people. He saved his life by pulling him out of a car that these guys were going to go and do a cocktail fire party on a bunch of black people. And he pulled him out of that car and let him go. Well, those boys, they went, they ended up getting a cocktail back and blew up the car, and they all burned up. They all died. That's when that young fella realized, because he was always quoting his dad and quoting that guy, I don't know, I think his name was Tony or something like that. Okay, so he got a lot of good advice from a gangster and from his father. He liked the excitement, but he wasn't really into the real gang thing, you know. He just wanted to blend in, I guess, you know. But didn't want to be a lot of the things they would do. And he helped one guy, a black boy, they were beating him up, try to help him out and get him out of there. And then it says, throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Yeah, you all going to get the same thing. Take that purse. Take that route, and you will suffer the consequences that they are going to suffer, and you're going to suffer the same consequences. You're no exception to the rule. No. He says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. I would say, run. Run. Get the heck out of there. And we're going to see one verse here pretty soon here about that very thing. and talking about a wise man. And their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread bait, to spread the baited net in the sight of a bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. How many gangsters have paid the consequences of trying to get involved in that kind of a life? To try to make the fast money, to be a big guy. But they don't get it because they're just so entrenched in that ideology and in that way of life. I wasn't to that degree, I wasn't part of a mafia or anything like that, but the street walking and the gang thing, you know, to me it was like fun. But there were some times that got almost too serious for me. Way too serious. When a friend of mine tried to run over this guy, if it wasn't for me, he would have been dead and I would have been gone. When I put two and two together and realized what this guy is doing, when he got in his car, he was so mad, and he was going to run that car up that street, came back down the street, and then started running towards him because he had knocked him out. He's laying in the dirt. I'm looking at this and looking at him and putting two and two. What the hell is this guy doing? And I picked that big old white boy up, pulled him up, dragged him back, and there he goes, went like that. He planned on running over this guy. He didn't care about me. He didn't care about me, what it was going to cost me. Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's your fool. And I was one. But not to the point of being that involved. To me, I just like drinking and partying and dancing. You know, I'll fight once in a while to lighten things up. Okay, we just read Romans 1 and 10 about giving approval to those who like running the same way as a fool does. Okay, Proverbs 20 and 3. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man. Okay, an honor or a noble, you can use the word noble. Okay, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Any fool will quarrel. And I have on here a noble man, okay, stops conflict and strife. If you're capable of doing that, like God says, if it's up to you to keep peace, do so. Don't get into this conflict of strife and arguments and fights. If you can be a good negotiator and negotiate a situation and bring it down to where you end up shaking hands and calling it a day, that's good. That's a very wise man. But you have to be really good about how you go about that. But you know, Matthew 5 and 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now right here I have the word meekness. Meekness is, how you define meekness, is strength under control. Meekness is strength under control. It takes a meek guy to stay in control when you have a bad situation going on. Things are running really bad. It's going to get ugly here. So a person with meekness is considered a person under, that keeps his strength under control. This power transcends the power that be. God says the meek shall inherit the earth. How did they inherit it? By the sword? No. Guns? Violence? Like these Catholics did? You know, to try to get the power of religion, but they did it by the sword, by killing over 50 some odd million of our people. The ones that got, that died, they were meek. They inherited the earth. Okay, but I'm sure it's referring more to the millennial age. Okay, the millennial. They are going to inherit the earth. Because all those in the tribulation period that were saved and accepted Christ as Savior, they're going to come and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. These are the meek that came out of the tribulation age. And they will co-rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. These are the ones they're referring to, because the Beatitude refers more to the kingdom. These are kingdom characteristics, okay? It's going to happen then, okay? So that's what I have here. Even the power in the days of Jesus Christ, okay, when he wrote this, during the time that Christ wrote it, who was the power at be at that time? Rome. Yeah. They were the powers at the time he wrote this. But people that lived under this, because Rome ruled with a fist by force. Okay. And the meek had to live under these circumstances. So they had to endure quite a bit. But that's what the definition that I have in here, meek, is strength under control. Strength under control in any given situation, okay? Okay, let me read something else here. A wise man will break out of a hopeless argument. Proverbs 19 and 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. And I'm already there. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. To overlook a transgression. A man with discretion makes him slow to anger. Remember David and Abigail? But I think it's more Abigail that had more discretion here. Don't you think? When, what was it, Nabal? What does his name mean again?
Fool.
Fool. With a capital F. With being the fool, did it bring his life to ruin? It cost him, but it almost cost the life of all his family because of his foolishness, his foolish decision not to help David and his men. They were fighting for them in order for them to have what he has. That's why I get so angry with people that say bad things about our military. They say bad things about our military men in uniform. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be able to express that little freedom of speech you just put out there. Because of them, and then these football players, they won't salute the flag of America. And the people that died for it, to give them the privilege to be millionaires and playing football. I don't get the right ideology, brother. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I respect anybody that's done good to me, not only to me, but this country, or to my brothers and sisters. I hold these kind of people in high esteem. I do. And God does that too. He does that too. Okay, where was I at here? Where am I at? That was the 1911. Okay, so a discerning man. So we see with David and Abigail, you know, David became outraged. He was going to do what he was going to do. Okay, Abigail came and settled him down. Because Abigail was telling him, what you're doing, what you want to do, is coming from you. Isn't that an order from God? And you wanting to kill this man and his whole family. This is not coming a direct order from God. This is your flesh talking. trying to remember where that's at, because I would like to read that. But she mentioned that. And she told the king, this is revenge. Isn't that to honor and glorify Israel or your kingship? This is a personal vendetta you're having. And David, this is not good. My husband's a fool, yes. He deserves to die. But leave that up to God. He'll take care of him.
And he did.
But you, David, do not sin. Abigail has some pretty good insight, didn't she? Smart woman. She was, they say, she was an economist. She was a businesswoman. Okay, just like the woman in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. She was the same life. She, you know, they were rich. They had money. And she handled a lot of it and a lot of the business. And she was responsible also in taking care of business as a negotiating wife. It just so happened she married a bad boy. Just like Deborah said, well, you hired him. Well, it won't be the first time I picked the wrong guy. Every time I see that, I just crack up. But anyhow, so here, David was not being very careful and letting his flesh get roused. But she had more common sense. What it said, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. Slow to anger. Anger's always been my problem back in the day. I haven't mastered it, but I don't do outbursts like I used to. I used to get very angry. And sometimes when I stop and think of why I'm so angry, it never made no sense. It was all about pride. And I was going in rage, yelling and screaming, you name it. And I'll talk about what that word the guys use? Loud talk. Outlaw talk people. I was a rebel, man, like in so many different ways. Disrespectful, uncaring. Didn't listen to wisdom or knowledge from anybody. And my life came to almost a total run until the Lord stopped me on my road to Damascus, you know. Okay, so I met my road to Damascus, what, I don't know how many years ago, but... But yeah, so here David, Abigail was using some really good discretion, and she was in control of her. She had a meek and quiet spirit, and she had her anger in control. She had her anger in control. So she was a good negotiator, huh? Told the king where to back off, but real respectfully. Read the words sometime. That was a very classy woman. She knew how to talk and deal with the king himself. And of course, you know, he married her, you know. You know, so she's one of the, what you call the keeper. She's a good keeper, you know. Okay. But, let's go to Proverbs 14 and 29. Proverbs 14 and verse 29. Okay, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, okay? But he who is quick-tempered or impulsive, short, you know what that means, huh?
Short-tempered.
Mm-hmm. Okay, quick-tempered exalts folly. Exalt means to praise, to magnify, to glorify. That's the fool. That's what he glorifies in. And he magnifies this kind of a character. This folly. He said, but I like the first part, but he who is slow to anger has great understanding. I like to be more and more like this kind of a person. Because I'm telling you, when you're calm, cool, and collective, it speaks volumes, brother. Okay, Proverbs 16 and 32. I'm going to finish up these last few, and then we're going to go to number 2 for next Sunday, if I'm here. Proverbs 16. What did I say? 32. 16 and 32, where are you at? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. That's a hell of a comparison of. It takes a lot of power and authority and strength to overcome a city. You know, Jericho was a powerful city, huh? Very fortified. But a guy that can keep slow to anger is mightier than them, than any army that can try to bring down such a mighty force. So there's more to be said about being cool and collective, managing your anger and controlling it. Well, remember, I think one of the parables where it talks about a person considers to go to war with 10,000 and against 20,000. But a wise man, you better be wise. You better negotiate because the odds are against you. Don't get arrogant. So sometimes you to go up against a big city, you even have to be wise in that. But learning how to control your anger and keep it in control and have a meek and quiet spirit, you can accomplish quite a bit. You can accomplish a lot. That's something I wish I'd had all my life. I've seen men in my lifetime, you couldn't ruffle their feathers and they wouldn't get mad. I mean, you can slam them on one side, down the other. And all they would say is, are you mad? Rapping and raging like a monkey jumping out of a tree, you know. He says, are you okay? He doesn't even know when I'm beating him up or insulting him, you know. He just doesn't.
Just like that movie, George Clooney, those three, they escaped in that camp, prison or whatever. And he was getting beat up by George Clooney and the other guy was getting beat up and everything. And I said, what's the matter, George? Hit him in the
head. Hey, he's taking a heck of a beating. Is something wrong, George? No. But okay, that was, 32, 17 and 14. This next page over, 17, 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon a quarrel before it breaks out. Is that wise? When you see things are getting pretty heated, you better try to make an exit. Try to politely excuse yourself. There's a lot of ways of getting out of an argument. A lot of different ways. I'm going to print it on paper, how to get out from an unpleasant argument. How do you do that? I'm sure the Proverbs tells us how to ease out of that.
Run.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. Okay, 14 and 17 today. 14:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I don't know why I wrote that down there. 14, yeah.
Probably 14 and 17 says something different.
I'm in the wrong one. 14:17. That was 17. 14:17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil device is hated. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. He's irrational. Can't reason with him. So don't even try. If you want to give it about a couple, 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes maybe, then you're going to see real fast. This is no good. Like that one situation where we were doing that computer class and that one guy did what he did and all this and that. You know, and I was just talking to him. I said, man, you shouldn't do that, man. You got people around here. You got women. You got kids, you know, and to do something to what you did. You know, after a while, when I was talking sensibly to him, I said one word. And that set him off. So now I got a situation. I got to turn this fire off. I started it by using one word in that sentence. It got in fit and he just jumped up. And things were going to get bad. Then I had to try to calm him down now. Reverse what I just started. And I said a few things. I said, look, man, no need for that. I'm just asking, man, you know, just be careful when you do that. So I had to tone it down, bring this thing around. He said, well, I don't know if people tell us. No, you're right. You're right. You're the man, brother. So I had to make him feel like he was in control. And then I just backed up and act like a whipped pup in front of him. So I had to ease myself out of that one. Because it would have been ugly in more ways than one. And we'll stop there next week. We're going to talk about fools are jokers. They take sin as a joke. Make fun of it. Make sport of it. So that's what will be for next Sunday. Okay, brethren. Thank you for your attention.